Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Situation Room.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Situation Room. I'm here with my co-host, Gabe Ferguson. You guys can check us out on Twitter. I'm at BSL Jordan Co. He's at Gabe Fergie. We're both, you can find our podcast at filmstudybaltimore.com. A lot of great content there and a lot of great discussions about kind of these Ravens teams. And, you know, what we're trying to do here on this show is break down these games and talk a little bit about the impact plays and what there is to take away from them and what we saw on the field happening and what we think is going to move forward with this team. And so, Gabe, I think this all starts with the pretext of what do we expect from this team heading into kind of the next 4 weeks, or is it 5 weeks? The next four weeks. And what did we see from this Cowboys game? And was it enough to say that, you know, we're confident that the Ravens are going to win out? Because I think there are really few circumstances where the Ravens won't make the playoffs if they win out. And so that was the big question for me heading into this Dallas game. What'd you see?
Yeah, I think we both had the expectation that the Ravens offense should kind of get back on track in this game. And if it didn't happen in a significant way, then things were not going to be good. So I think that happened. You know, we saw the Ravens run for almost 300 yards, which is, you know, I mean, that's impressive. And any way you cut it, that's impressive. I think obviously it was a poor run defense and they ran the ball a lot. So you should pick up, you know, some yards there, but I think it wasn't all just, you know, the run game. I think Lamar Jackson was very impressive in some of his scrambles. He kind of went back to doing some of those things that we saw from him last year on a fairly regular basis. He was just able to pick up the yards and the plays that needed to be made in certain specific times. You know, there's a few third down conversions I can think of in particular where, you know, it was just Lamar. He didn't have anybody open and he made a couple players miss and picked up that third down. And that's kind of what the Ravens need at this point. They don't, especially when they're lacking somebody like Mark Andrews, they need somebody who can make those plays. And that was Lamar Jackson in this game.
Yeah. I mean, the big takeaway, well, no, I think you're right that the offense definitely looked like it was more on track and it more headed in the right direction. And I want to say more about that, but before I do, the pop quiz question of the day is who has looked worse at times, Leighton Vander Esch or Patrick Queen?
Wow, that was, you know, that, I mean, we will talk more about a certain play I'm thinking about where Lamar Jackson scored a touchdown running the ball, but wow, he did not have a good game for the Cowboys. And he was someone who was being hyped up as, you know, Rookie of the Year. What, did he win Rookie of the Year or Defensive Rookie of the Year a couple years back?
I don't think he won, but he was in the conversation.
He had a fantastic rookie season, and now this looks like a guy who's completely lost out there. So it's kind of weird.
I think he might have been the victim on the Boykin touchdown too.
Like, yeah, I think that might have been play action.
Yeah. So, you know, I think going back to the question about the Ravens and their offense, there certainly was life that we saw here. I would agree. This was a different Lamar Jackson than I think we've seen the last, well, really like 8 weeks in terms of running the ball. And so maybe the time off allowed him to get his legs healthy. And maybe that was part of it. I think there were a lot of conversations of Lamar looks like he's half a step slow. And so maybe this is just him kind of being able to recover from that and let his legs rest and kind of get back in rhythm from a running perspective. And that's huge, right? And so from that sense of the takeaway, it's great. And, you know, I think watching the game, my initial take was there's nothing to take away here. That the Cowboys are just really bad on defense and there's not a whole lot to see. And I think the Ravens kind of sputtered both on offense and on defense kind of in the second and kind of like early parts of the third quarter. But in the late part of the third quarter and then and into the fourth quarter, they really picked up the steam. And so I was glad to see that. And I think those are the things that I want to that are kind of the takeaways to me, which is that those moments where they did look in sync and that things were going correctly and looking a little bit better. Can they build on those moments and can they continue to replicate them and find ways to kind of fix some of the things even amongst that weren't going well?
Yeah, I think this definitely wasn't, you know, the most crisp game. It wasn't nearly the level of sloppy that we saw last week against the Steelers, but there was definitely some failed execution. I think there was some miscommunications on defense. We saw, you know, special teams play that's very uncharacteristic, both from a missed field goal and from that long return that was allowed to the Cowboys. I was looking at that return, actually, and I counted at least three or four guys who were brand new to the team. You know, players who were not the usual players who should be out there. And I think that's a big reason why, you know, the Ravens might not have covered that kick the way they would have at the beginning of the year. You had a lot of kind of those like end of the roster guys who are really there just to play special teams that haven't been able to play at this stage of the season. So I think that's something that we have to look out for moving forward. And it might just be an idea to have Justin Tucker kick it out of the end zone whenever possible now. But getting back to the, you know, the offensive execution, I think the Ravens missed Mark Andrews in this game. And, you know, obviously they missed him, you know, last week too, but for a lot of the things that the Ravens do in the passing game, I think revolves around him. You know, he's someone who requires attention from the defense. He kind of either occupies a couple of defenders. A lot of times it's what defenses are doing. They're kind of bracketing him and that's allowing a wide receiver to get open. Or he's the guy who's running open and making plays. And without having him on the field, it really limited the Ravens' passing attack. And I think, you know, we saw Hollywood Brown make a couple of really nice plays. That the touchdown catch in particular was really something that was pretty to watch. But I think overall, the passing game still has room that it needs to improve. There was a lot of kind of off-target throws that we're going to talk a little bit about as well. But I think you just have to go back and look at what the Ravens did on the ground. And you know, the blocking up front was really good. I know it wasn't a great defensive front for the Cowboys, but I do think that, you know, the Ravens are moving in the right direction in terms of what they're doing on offense with their run game. I've seen a few things that they've gotten rid of, and I think you might want to talk about that as well. But some of those unblocked plays where they're forcing a defender to kind of try to make a guess, and a lot of times it's blowing up in the Ravens' face. They're seeming to get somebody on that player now, and it's allowing them to not get those zero negative yardage plays.
Praise the Lord if those plays are out of the playbook. They might have been the thing that has bothered me the most about this season, and there have been a lot of things that bothered me about this season. And I do think that you can chalk a lot of this game up to there just being a lot of new faces and a lot of guys needing to be integrated. I mean, Campbell and Williams did not play full slates of this game. You saw in the secondary a whole, you know, Averick coming back for the first time, no Jimmy Smith, no Tramon Williams in this game. On offense, you had no Willie Snead, no Mark Andrews, Makari and Skura just both coming back. Skura obviously not playing a ton. Powers just kind of getting things settled in, a rotation between Phillips and Fluker. There are lots of reasons why this game may not have looked crisp, and I think I'm willing to, in this moment, give the Ravens a pass on that. I do want to talk about the defense briefly, because I think most of the plays that we're going to break down and the analysis that we want to really get into is going to be on the offensive side. My only comment about the defense, and you know, I kind of want to tackle this up top, is that it feels like the Ravens have gotten soft on third downs, or soft on big downs or big moments or like the killer instinct spots. And Wink has been, you know, at times still dialed up some really great blitzes. And at times I am critical of Wink and how he blitzes. I think Marlon Humphrey should blitz less. I think you let the weak side inside linebacker blitz more and like let Humphrey be the guy that covers the middle of the field in those instances. If that's what you want to do, that kind of stuff, I think you can be differently creative in there. That's more successful. But even outstanding of that, sometimes the Ravens just need to get into cover zero, put seven guys at the line of scrimmage that look like they're going to rush. If those guys block, rush all seven and man up your other four guys and pressure the quarterback. And I felt in this game, the Ravens weren't willing to do that. And I'm willing to give them a little bit of a pass in this moment, but there's going to be no passes to be given out next week. This is a must win game against Baker Mayfield. And he's a must blitz and must pressure quarterback. He absolutely folds in the pressure of where he thinks those moments are coming from. I think I said that backwards. He collapses in those moments where he thinks the pressure is coming from somewhere it may not. And the Ravens need to dial it up. And I would be fine within every passing situation next week in the first quarter where the Ravens blitzed every single guy and let every other guy be in man-to-man coverage down the field, just to scare the crap out of him and just to put some pressure on him. So I'm willing to give a pass only because there are a lot of new faces and a lot of things are changing, but I'd like to see the Ravens step up the aggression there. And I think that they're going to have to continue to be successful and not let these teams, even at times the Cowboys had these like 8, 9, 10 play drives. And that's the thing that's kind of annoyed me the most, I think, about the Ravens defense this entire season.
Yeah, the Ravens have definitely kind of gone more towards this bend but don't break style in the past few weeks. You know, they did it a little bit against Tennessee. They definitely did it against Pittsburgh, which was understandable. But I didn't think they would have to do it against in this game, but they did. And in a lot of ways, they were not being really aggressive with their, you know, their fronts. They weren't. I mean, they did blitz some, and they actually got burned by the blitz a little bit. But I think that I agree with you, especially in terms of the next game against Baker, because he, as you said, is someone who generally does not play well under pressure, especially if he's confused by the pressure and confused by the coverage. If you can combine those two things, get him a little off, you know, off his initial read, and then also have pressure in his face, I think that's something that is going to be problematic for the Browns. But on the other hand, you know, the Browns also have one of the best offensive lines, if not the best offensive lines in the league. So you really do have to be creative and know how they, you know, do their protections and figure out how to attack them. So I'm hopeful that Wink is going to have, you know, a play or plays in mind in order to kind of increase that pressure, because that's something that they're going to have to do. In this game, there really wasn't a lot of pressure. I think Jihad Ward might have been the Ravens' best pass rusher, which is interesting because he's been a guy who's been a game day inactive several times this year, especially after the Yannick Ngakoue trade. I think Ngakoue also had a nice game in terms of providing some pressure off the edge. Yeah, the Ravens didn't get many sacks in this one, but I do think that those will come eventually, and I'm hoping that next week is where it comes. If not next week, it'll definitely come against some of the inferior teams that they're going to play down the stretch. All that being said, next week is really the game that matters, and the defense is going to have to play better. The run defense is going to have to play better, like you're talking about with some of these long drives that the Cowboys were able to put together. The Browns can do that to you too. They have, you know, obviously one of the best run games in the NFL. They have two really good running backs, and you know, you have to be able to get them into those kind of third and long situations, and that requires stopping the run early, because the Browns will run the ball. So you're going to have that ability to stop them on early downs, put them in third and longs, and then pressure Mayfield. And that's really the key to keeping, you know, the Browns contained, is not letting them getting into these, like, you know, advantageous downs and distances where they can, you know, roll with play action and hit you with these deep passes over the top. So I'm hopeful that, you know, the defense will get healthier. We'll get Judon back. Hopefully get Jimmy Smith back, and just hope for that Wink has like a really good game plan for that one.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this is where the offense and what we really want to break down can make a difference in this game. Cause what you just talked about is, like, don't let play action be a threat. Like, don't let them be able to run the ball with any consistency, because if they do and you can keep it relatively contained, it's not going to be enough for them to win. And I think the Ravens on offense could be the place where they really make a difference. And so, you know, let's do this a little more Clint Eastwood style, with a little bit of kind of you know, good, bad, and ugly. And let's start with where we think the Ravens need to do some work, because I think we saw some real rust from Lamar in this game. And I think mechanically we saw a very lazy is not a great word to use, but a not efficient and not smart Lamar Jackson in this game. And I think we saw that on, you know, in particular, we can start with the throw in the red zone for the Ravens to Miles Boykin, you know, and I think that, you know, that was just a ball. We have not seen Lamar throw the ball into the ground like that since really his rookie year. And that was one of those plays where he had his guy, he had kind of enough room and space to set, and he throws the ball straight up into the ground. You know, what'd you see on that play?
Yeah, so this was kind of one of those plays that we've talked about before where, you know, they move the pocket a little bit and give Lamar, you know, a nice kind of protection. He does have to avoid a rusher coming from the backside, which I think he does a really good job of doing. But, you know, then it looks like he has, you know, pretty good, you know, footwork. Like, he's not like trying to throw from a weird angle or anything, but he just doesn't throw an accurate ball. It is kind of, you know, he has to kind of fit it into a window. It's not like the tightest of windows, but he has to get it in between a couple of defenders, but the ball is just nowhere near where it has to be. And if he's going to air, he should probably air, you know, maybe throwing it a little high and make it a place where only his guy can go up and get it. But you have to at least allow your wide receiver the opportunity to make a play on it. And it was just a poorly thrown ball. I don't know if it just came off his hand wrong or if it's just one of those things where he's shaking off the rust. But, you know, this could have been a touchdown very easily. I think, you know, most NFL quarterbacks are capable of making that throw. And I know Lamar's capable of making that throw. It's just in this situation, he was not able to either get the right mustard on it, or maybe he was still kind of a little frantic with like trying to avoid the pressure and didn't want to, you know, make a interception there, or he was maybe a little hesitant to put it in a little bit more better catchable position. But regardless, you know, that wasn't a play that killed the Ravens, but I think it was an example of a play where Lamar needs to be better.
Yeah, you know, I think you're cutting him a little too much slack here. I want to talk about the play design first, because I think this is one that's really effective. The Ravens, when they make it look like they're going to run to the right with Lamar, will get an overcommitment, especially from the outside contain guys, who in this instance go almost all the way to the sideline before they come back and pressure Lamar. That gives him ample time and space to be able to get set and make a throw if he needs to. And you're able to take advantage of that. You're able to kind of suck linebackers all the way to the sideline in instances where, if that's Andy Dalton, they're not going to overcommit in that same way. I like that in that sense that this is the play call. And I like that Boykin stops kind of on the R in the end zone. It drifts back. That's the advantage of this play, right? That everything is moving one way. You get behind the defender and you're able to, as the receiver, to drift back to the other side. That being said, when Lamar goes to release this ball, the two rushers that you're talking about are farther away from Lamar than the defender is. If you pause this at the 10-second mark of what we're going to put up on Twitter, they're farther away from Lamar than the defender is from Boykin. And Boykin is drifting back. All Lamar has to do, like you said, is really just loft that ball up, and there is a wide open window. He can really loft it to the M. If you're looking at the end zone from kind of this perspective, to the corner of the M and the O, and Boykin's going to be able to make that catch. You give him all the time in the world, you give him all the air that you need, and that's another touchdown. So, he slings it. He basically, it's not one of those ones where he doesn't set his back foot, but it's one of those ones where he drops his elbow and he essentially is pushing the ball, and that's what drives it into the ground. And this is an instance where the ball needs to be higher, and it's just bad mechanics from Lamar's part to be able to make that throw. Now, I think you're right. Lamar was sick all week. He was COVID symptomatic. It wasn't that he was asymptomatic like other players were. It sounds like the strain of COVID that he got was worse than what others have had. I'm willing to cut him some slack on this, but this is the kind of play call and this is the kind of throw that you can't miss. And ironically, this is the exact opposite of what happened on kind of the Andrews type play that they did that was like this, but not similar a few weeks ago, where he didn't throw it high enough and deep enough again, and he kind of shorted it. And you see the same thing happen here. He needs to be able to kind of have the rhythm and the understanding to be able to know what a throw to that back sideline really looks like.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just a mechanics thing. And it's a thing where if he, you know, uses the proper, you know, arm angle, the right release, it's going to be an easy touchdown. And he just, like, he doesn't, and he knows right away. You see his reaction. He's really upset. Like, he's just like, he just bends over and is like, I can't believe I just missed that. That's a throw that he probably makes, 95 out of 100 times, and he just, for whatever reason, it didn't. He wasn't able to complete it here. So I'm not trying to give him like an easy pass. It's a throw he absolutely needs to make. I'm giving him a pass for the reasons that you mentioned, recovering from COVID. He hasn't really been able to practice for probably much of 2 weeks because he was someone who just came off on Sunday. He wasn't cleared for a while, and the Ravens hadn't practiced even before the Steelers game. So he has been definitely not able to have much of a live fire. All that being said, yeah, I mean, this is a throw that I'm going to expect him to make moving forward. And I like what you said as well about it being a play design that I think can really be useful. Boykin was wide open, and that should be a touchdown. And if we see that come up again, I hope it will be a touchdown.
Yeah, and, this is one of those instances where I think the Ravens effectively use the verticality of the field. I think the Ravens are really bad at using the vertical depth in their routes when they are passing the ball and they're in the red zone and they're able to kind of use both Lamar's legs and a mix of the verticality to get guys open. They need to replicate this on other plays and in other instances. But this wasn't the only time that Lamar really did kind of have a yard or two of space to throw and kind of missed another guy on kind of an easy throw. And we saw another similar play from the Ravens and from Boykin, actually, coming on kind of like a deep crosser slant-ish type route. And Boykin is open, and Lamar kind of hesitates, and he needs to know that he's coming open on this play. And basically, I'd say mechanically makes the same mistake. So hopefully James Urban can get with Lamar and fix this. The thing that I would point to on this play is where the other routes are on this play that aren't the receivers that are being thrown to. All three of these guys, like, this is like classic Cam Cameron. Like, at the point that Lamar releases this ball, there's only one guy that is like really meaningfully past the sticks, and all the other guys are kind of like running to the sticks and essentially stopping. And so I'm frustrated on one account, because I think that if you use verticals there, you can create more space for Lamar to be able to make other throws or decide to run if he wants to. But also, you make this a one-read play for Lamar because everybody else is going to get covered, and the only throw that he can make is Boykin. And you put that kind of pressure on a quarterback, and I think that quarterbacks are going to also kind of suffer from that too. When it's easier to be in rhythm, it's easier to read the defense, know what the defenses are going to do. Essentially, all these underneath routes, whether they are man or zone, will always be covered because of the way they run these routes, right? And so there are no reads, and there's nothing more that Lamar can do to kind of manipulate the defense on this play. And I think that's the thing that drives me nuts about some of the Ravens' play designs. And this, to me, this was a good instance where this should have been a throw that's on the money and it turns into at least a 25-yard gain. But I hate this play design.
Yeah, I mean, you said one thing that I wanted to talk a little bit more about. When you said you want to have the ability for Lamar to manipulate the defense. Because part of the reason why this play didn't work was because the linebacker was reading Lamar's eyes the entire time, and he was able to come underneath the throw, or like where the throw would be going, and make it a harder throw than it had to be. So if Lamar can kind of look that linebacker off, because he was locked onto his primary read the entire time, which is Boykin coming across, and the linebacker was able to read that. In this case, it was Van Der Esch again, I think, and he actually played it pretty well, and he got enough depth on his zone that he was able to affect Lamar's pass. And that's why it sailed. I'm 90% sure that's why he wasn't able to put the ball where he wanted to, because he had to get it over the linebacker. But if he can just, convince the linebacker for half a second that he's going to, pass the ball to his, to his left, or just, maybe just like look off the linebacker, then he has an easy throw. And I think that's something that I'd like to see from Lamar in this play. I know that's something he's capable of. We've seen him do that time and time again in the past. It was something he did regular basis last year. He was really good manipulating safeties and linebackers with his eyes. In this instance, he wasn't able to do that for whatever reason. It might be one of those things that is also a rust. He just wanted to make that play. He was locked onto his guy, and he wasn't able to, get the throw where it had to be. That said, it still could have been a completed pass if he had made a better throw. It wasn't as easy a pass as I initially thought, because the linebacker was underneath like that. But regardless, I think that's a play that you definitely want your quarterback to make, just like the previous one.
Yeah, so those are examples where Lamar really struggled. And look, Lamar was, 12 for 17? And, you know, we can talk a little bit about the Hollywood interception here. This play drives me absolutely bonkers for I can't tell you how many reasons. So I'm going to kind of break it down quickly. First, Luke Wilson just absolutely whiffs on his, rub route, right? And I don't love this rub route design, right? Like, I'd much rather put Wilson on the other side of this field and run a crosser here and let him run physical interference instead of having to fake a route and then get out into another route and run that as the screen. You see a lot more of these mesh crosser concepts for these rubs that are a lot more effective. I'd rather do that, right? The thing that bothers me the most about this play, though, and Wilson absolutely blows this play. And I think, again, this is just a one read, and maybe these one read type things are more connected to Lamar not being able to practice all week. And so you need more one read type plays. But my problem is the slot guy on the left side that runs kind of this short out, short of the sticks. And I am absolutely sure that that is the reason why this play ultimately doesn't work or turns into an interception, right? Because when he runs that breaking out route, it allows the defender that is kind of just to the left of the shield at the 42 yard line to stay there. Now, if that same guy runs north and south, then you are putting the pressure on either the slot defender to stay with Duvernay there, or the robber, who is the safety that's coming up out of this, they show cover two, the safety to the right kind of turns into a robber who comes down into the field to take away this exact pass they took away, or to pressure Lamar if he decides he wants to try and run the ball. You pressure him in deciding what he wants to do. If Duvernay's beat his guy up the field, then Lamar's got a wide open touchdown to throw up the seam. Right. And if he doesn't, then Lamar looks down. He's got Brown wide open underneath him, and there's nobody in that area in that void, and he can throw it to him. Even if he overthrows it or doesn't make a great throw, the robber isn't there to make the interception because A, they're farther down the field, but B, he's ideally taking a couple steps back and is either probably at the 45, 46, 47 yard line to help with Duvernay, because there's no way that you can cross his face like that and not hold that defender. It also keeps him deeper, which allows Lamar to have a chance to run the ball. You open up so many more of these opportunities, even if you miss the pick play, right? None of those things happen on this play. You get Dobbins, I think it is, running a deep nine route on the outside. Nobody cares. No extra attention is going to get paid to that. You run Duvernay on an out where you got the crosser coming right across that, right? So even if the defender for Duvernay who's running the short out decides to give up on the route because he doesn't think he's going to throw it, he's going to turn around and he's going to run right into Marquise Brown even if he completes that ball. So you're almost just begging in this instance to place the defenders in a spot to stop this play. And so it's not a great decision by Lamar to throw this ball. I think Hollywood, if he doesn't tip it, it doesn't turn into an interception. So I don't think that's I wouldn't hugely fault this to Lamar. But again, this play design just absolutely drives me bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. I hate the way the pick was designed. I think it's a really dumb play. It didn't work, but I just don't think it's going to work most plays. And if it does work, it's going to get called an offensive pass interference because this was an offensive pass interference. It could have been flagged easily. He wasn't, running that route. He was literally just going to pick the player. Like, he even makes it look like he's picking. I don't know. That was stupid. Anyway, he did a horrible job of actually doing the job of picking. And that maybe that's why it wasn't get called, because he was just so bad at it. But regardless, it's, even Hollywood's route was south or not to the chains. He was, 4 yards short of the sticks. And even if he catches it, he has another defender who's going to be coming downhill to stop him. Because we know Hollywood Brown probably isn't going to break a tackle. So it's just not a great play design anywhere. And there should be better options on the field because he wasn't open and there's nowhere else for Jackson to go with the ball. So it was just ugly all around. And this is the kind of play that you don't want to see again. Hopefully this is one of the ones that gets fired off into the atmosphere and burned away. So, these are pretty much the bad plays. I think the ones that we thought were some sort of really bad to horrendously ugly But there were also some really good plays that we saw out of Lamar Jackson in this game. What's the next one that you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the Boykin touchdown. And you know, I'll let you break down the play, but the context that I want to give to this is that if the Ravens run play action and show looks that they're like they're going to run on first down, which they've done incessantly all season long, really good things are going to happen.
Yeah, so obviously, if you've been paying attention to this podcast at all or following me on Twitter, one of the things I complain about the most is the Ravens' tendency to run on first down. And this game was honestly no different. They ran the ball a lot on first down. And it had its plays that it worked. So I can't be too critical in a game where you're actually running the ball well. It's okay, I guess, to run on first down. But there were still a number of times where they're running the ball, giving it to Ingram, he gets his 1 or 2 yard rush, and then you're at, you know, second and long. And that's what we want to avoid, if at all possible. But we did see a few times where the Ravens used play action, and this is one example of it. The other touchdown, ironically enough, also play action on first down. This one is just, you know, it's a great design. You have two verts on the one side of the field, and that's occupying two corners, and the safety is coming over to help, and that allows Duvernay on his kind of deep post route to be wide open as the defender who should have been, you know, getting depth in that zone is sucked up by play action. And then, you know, Boykin was wide open for the touchdown. I mean, wide open for a pass that was, you know, well thrown by Lamar. It was right on the money. And then, you know, Boykin made a couple players miss in the open field to get the touchdown. So a lot of things went right for that to be a touchdown, but it was, regardless, it was a great play design. It was a great obvious position to do that play call, because you're getting a quick change after the Ravens had just forced an interception. You want to take a shot on those kind of plays, and it worked to perfection. And this is exactly the kind of thing that, you know, I've been talking about. This is why you do play action on first down, because it allows you to have that extra little window of space that the receiver can get open. And if it's not Miles Boykin, it's going to be Mark Andrews, or maybe it's going to be, you know, Willie Snead. But these plays are going to be there for, you know, for the Ravens if they continue to want to use them. And I think it's something that we should see more and more. And it wasn't the only play that they did play action on, sorry, that was effective. I mean, I already mentioned the other touchdown. There's also a nice little play action pass to Patrick Ricard on first down that, you know, was a nice little 8 yard rumble. And those are the kind of plays you can get on a regular basis, but they just refuse to use them more as frequently as they should. And I don't understand why.
Yeah. I cannot tell you why. I think the Ravens need to be willing to pass it more on first down and run it more on second and long. And just like any good team in the NFL is going to need to do. And we actually saw the Cowboys actually run the ball effectively on second and longs, because the Ravens would either change their packages or their defense. And Elliott had some of his longest gains on second and long type plays. The Ravens, I think, would see the same results if that happened. That being said, there are a couple reasons why I think this play worked that you know, beyond just kind of the route concepts. It's worth noting that this is a play action pass, but the Ravens showed kind of like a power action off the pistol, and you see Bozeman actually pull from the left guard spot to the right guard spot. And that's what, like, Van Der Esch is going to get a lot of crap later in this podcast, as he all very well deserves. But that's why he bites here. His key, I think, is supposed to be Ingram, but when you're trying to key a guy and you see someone else pulling, your instinct is, in most instances, that is not going to be a pass. And the Ravens need to use things like that to their advantage, right? They used Ricard at tight end. It's like a heavy run blocking package. It's not Luke Wilson. You know, it's none of those things. And so you're going to bait people into thinking in those instances that that's what you're going to get from it. And you definitely have both kind of Duvernay, and I think it's Marquise Brown actually that's running a skinny post, yep, on the inside that holds the safety up to the top. And that's what opens it up for Boykin. And even, you know, I'd argue that anybody would score a touchdown here. You know, when Boykin catches the ball, he's kind of at the 20. There's not a defender within 6 yards of him. And the safety that's kind of coming towards him has already turned his hips in the other way, needs to turn them back. And that's a guy that you'd expect an NFL receiver to be able to beat in that instance. And so that's what makes this play so good, is that you hold everybody else on the other side and you run a deep crosser route to be able to open this up. And Greg Roman probably doesn't spend a lot of time playing Madden, but if you do spend any time playing Madden, and I haven't played for a few years now, but my guess is this hasn't changed. The deep crosser routes that run kind of the 10 to 15 yard depth down the field are incredibly popular for the same reason that this play worked, because you are deep enough that you are now beyond kind of the sinking linebackers that come up. And if you run plays that go behind it, there are going to be opportunities to be successful. If the players drop too deep there, then Lamar Jackson is going to have all the space in the world to run, and he's going to take full advantage of those opportunities, and he's going to be really successful in doing it. And so this play call or this play design was fantastic, and I want to see the Ravens kind of utilize more of kind of what I call, like, this isn't specifically levels, right? Like levels is much more directly in line, right? Like, you have a crosser, a skinny post, and a deep post that are all lining up in order. And so it just makes it hard to defend defensively, but you do have a guy on a post and the deep crosser, and the play action kind of like being kind of your underneath mechanism that makes us be successful. The Ravens need to figure out how to replicate this. They need guys at all three phases of the game to be successful.
Yeah, and this is the kind of play that also you use when you look at other teams' tendencies, because this is a first and 10 play, right? And you know that, you know, because you run a lot on first down, the other opposing team is probably going to be in some type of zone coverage, probably, you know, probably cover three, or maybe, you know, some kind of like, you know, cover six or something like that. But this is exactly how you take advantage of that, because you're stressing those three deep defenders with the two verticals, and then because of the play action, you're sucking in the linebackers and you're creating this massive void in the middle. So this is the perfect kind of you know, concept that's going to be able to attack that void in the middle of a zone defense, you know, similar to like a dagger, where you have the vert and then you have the vert maybe running out of the slot, and you have the kind of like the deep like crosser that's going to come
right,
in
that dig,
or the dig that's going to come out from like the more outside wide receiver. And that's a route combination that's going to work on against most zone defenses. And that's something that we've seen the Ravens use that concept a few times. And something that I think you can use a lot more on play action on first down. I think that's something that is going to be available to the Ravens, and it's going to be open a lot of the time. So these are the kind of plays that I think you really want to start taking more advantage of. And you can also do, you know, kind of like the sale. I mean, this is kind of like a sale. It's similar to that concept. So there's a lot of, you know, route combos that you can do on play action that's going to take advantage of the zone looks that you're probably going to see, because the defense is going to want to take away that, you know, that run on first down, because the Ravens are so likely to do that. And now that you've been putting that run out there over and over and over again, you can really start nailing teams with this kind of attack.
Yeah, and look, it's a myth that you need to be running successfully to set up play action. Teams are just going to bite on that look no matter what. So keep doing this. Keep it up, Greg Roman. Pat on the back for this one. And pat on the back for this next one. And I'll let you set us up here, Gabe. But here's my question. You asked earlier this year, when's the last time we saw a Raven run a double move this season? And we got one here. And what did we see?
So this is the play where Lamar Jackson was Hollywood for the touchdown. It's one of the prettier passes you're going to see on any, you know, any football field. And it's kind of every time I watch this play, I'm a little hesitant to think it's on purpose, but I think it is on purpose. I think this was intentional that, you know, that the Ravens set up. So first of all, it's play action. Lamar pumps to, you know, I don't know, the tight end or Ricard coming out, leaking out, but there's nothing there. But the defense is sucked into the other side of the field. Lamar kind of then, you know, uses his athleticism to get back on the other side. And that kind of keys Marquise Brown to take his initial route where he just kind of stopped and then do a quick double move, like you put it, and he's running to the corner of the end zone. And Lamar just puts that, you know, football right on the dime in the corner of the end zone, exactly where it has to be. Brown makes a great catch, and you know it's an incredible play, and it's something that I think is helped by the fact that the Ravens use play action here, because it allows the defense to kind of, you know, be on their heels a little bit. And then, you know, you have a lot of time if you're Jackson too, because if he has pressure in his face, this play isn't going to work. But because of the way the defense reacted, he's able to, you know, set his feet. And even though he's moving to his left, he's still able to put a perfect pass on to exactly where Hollywood needs to go. So all around, one of the most impressive throws you'll ever see. Great catch, great play design. I love it.
Yeah, I definitely think this is intentional. And I think that the one nuance that I like about this play also is that at one point after Lamar makes the pump, he does this little subtle thing where he also makes it look like he's going to run. And I think that's what also makes this play happen. As soon as Lamar does that thing where it looks like he's going to try and either break and taint or he's going to try and run up the field, everybody sucks up towards the line of scrimmage. And it's the thing that takes, I'd say that they were in kind of like a robber, like maybe it was cover two and the safety like blows this coverage, but he does this like kind of pump thing where you see his left foot out in front of his right foot. And he kind of is almost like kneeling down ish in how it looks. And that commits the entire defense to suck back up and allows Lamar the space to throw this ball. It is a perfectly thrown ball. And I think the part that makes you think that it's not intentional is that also, in addition to that, Marquise Brown has a lot of room to run when he breaks into the second route without anybody behind him. This doesn't, it's a 20 yard, I think by the yardage of the rule, it's a 20 yard touchdown, but really it's all the way back to the corner, 30 yards. And from where Lamar kind of lets the ball go, it travels like 37 yards in the yep. air. If you kind of assume that the ball is caught on that very back line. That's a long throw for a touchdown from the 20 yard line. And so I think Lamar just kind of put it up there. He put the air under it and he gave his guy a chance to get the ball. That's not what he did on the Miles Boykin play we talked about earlier, but that's what he has to do, to be able to make this kind of thing successful.
Yeah. And this is just, like I said, it's so pretty. It's the perfectly thrown ball. It's a well-run route. He was actually not, the defender wasn't like in horrible position. I thought it was actually decent coverage given, you know, the one-on-one nature of this route. But he was, Brown was able to create just enough separation where he was able to just sprint to the corner and the ball was right there waiting for him. And, you know, this is something they had to have worked on. The more I think about it, just the timing of it, it's clear that Brown, you know, started to break his route as soon as he saw Lamar Jackson turn and kind of like make that move, like he's going to come around to the other side. And it's just a play that I think you want to see maybe in a big moment. This was kind of a big moment. They needed to get that score here to get that two kind of touchdown lead. And I think this is, you know, the perfect time to break out something like this. And I'm glad to see this kind of play is something that's in the playbook.
Yeah, totally. And then, you know, so that those are the passing plays, but, you know, it's Lamar Jackson. So we'd be remiss not to talk about one of these running plays. And look, the Ravens have run this play a handful of times now this year, and it's been wildly successful, and they should run it more often, if you ask me. It's basically like a little, like, kind of like inverted veer, or it isn't kind of like it. It basically is an inverted veer run. And the Ravens have been really successful out of this formation and running the ball this way. And this touchdown was no different.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is maybe the exact same play we saw in, what is it, week 5 against the Washington football team. If not the exact same play, a very similar play design. Another important block by Bozeman, who comes around pulling, he puts just enough of a distraction on the defensive end that Lamar is able to make him miss and make him kind of like take an angle that he couldn't get to Jackson. And this is kind of the thing we were talking about earlier, where instead of having an unblocked defender that Jackson has to just make him miss on his own, there is a blocker there that he's able to use to kind of help give himself a better angle. And that is really important on this play, because if, you know, the defender can take a cleaner route to Jackson, this might have been a negative play. And it might, and on fourth down, this is, you can't afford a negative play, obviously. So the other thing I think if we compare it to the Washington game, what happened in that game was the defensive end just kind of like ran himself out of the play completely. And in this one, he almost did it as well, but this time we had the kickout block by Bozeman. And then also, you know, great job by the right tackle. In this case, I think it is Phillips who's in it at this one, and he seals the edge really well. And then we have to talk about Leighton Vander Esch, who we've alluded to earlier, just gets completely fooled on this play. And it is a good job of, you know, at the mesh point with, you know, giving the, you know, the fake to Dobbins and taking it kind of at the last second. But Vander Esch is literally running the wrong direction. And if he just, you know, minds his gap, this could also be stopped. But he doesn't. And it's a great fake. And he goes the wrong way. And Jackson has a complete runway open up in front of him for him to get to the touch for the touchdown, because there's not a safety on this play. They're all sucked up in zero coverage. So another good play design. We've seen it work a number of times. And, you know, every single time it's been a Lamar touchdown. So maybe we'll see it again sometime.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I would excuse Vander Esch on is that I think the edge guy is supposed to be following Dobbins, and he obviously loses contain on Dobbins, and that makes Vander Esch think twice about that. I think that the Cowboys were not prepared from a run defense perspective to defend a play like this, and that's why you see something like this happen. But at the same time, against the Washington football team, you know, we've seen the Ravens pick up first downs out of this formation in other games. I'm trying to remember. There's another big fourth down in maybe the first Pittsburgh game where they run the same play. And I think Lamar only gets like 4 or 5 yards, but he picks up a short fourth down play that was really big and needed. And then they ran this play again on the touchdown in maybe the Cincinnati game or where it gets called back. And I think this was also the same look on that play. So this is one that really confuses teams. You get that kind of double pull action coming one way, but you get the play action going the other way. And I think the next layer to this is also, because if you think about this, if a teams are going to overcommit to this on the next time, Dobbins is going to be kind of wide open on that other side for Lamar to stop running and turn around and just kind of toss the ball lightly in the air to him and be able to have him run it in too. So I think we're going to see that at some point, and the Ravens can do some variations from this, and they can make it be really effective and, you know, still be able to break it down from there. So I'm excited about what we're seeing on all of this. And I'm excited about this, the team moving forward. There's enough good play calls and enough good things here and enough from Lamar that makes me think that the Cleveland game is more winnable than I would have thought it was before last week or before this game on Tuesday.
Yeah. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting about this game is the Cowboys have a pretty poor defense, but they do have one really elite player in DeMarcus Lawrence, an edge defender who's still playing at a very high level. And he was the guy that Lamar was able to make miss with the help of Bradley Bozeman on this rushing play. And I think he's someone that is in a lot of ways, you know, similar to Myles Garrett, someone that the Browns have. Now the Browns have more talent around him, especially on the defensive line, than the Cowboys do. But with the way the Ravens, you know, design their run game, you can kind of take away an elite edge defender. If you do it the right way, if you have someone blocking that guy on some of these crackback blocks, or maybe not crackback blocks, but some of these like pull blocks, you can do some kind of like some variations with your like fullback as well. And that might give, you know, the Ravens the ability to kind of win up front without, you know, allowing their best player to be put in positions to succeed. And that's something that you definitely want to do when you're, you don't have necessarily the talent at offensive tackle to straight up beat a guy like Myles Garrett, because I don't know. I mean, if he's lining up across from the right tackle, that's one of the biggest mismatches you're ever going to see in the NFL. So they're going to have to figure out creative ways to kind of take him out of the game. I remember back in week 1, you know, Garrett had a lot of nice pressures, but Jackson was able to avoid them and make some, you know, some really impressive plays with his feet that led to long completions. And that's the kind of thing that I think we're going to have to see in order for the Ravens to continue, you know, piling or, you know, getting another win. So I'm hopeful that they have a good plan to kind of take Garrett out of that game. But I agree with you that it's really just about how Jackson can play, because, you know, I've kind of been saying that the past couple weeks as well, and the way the end of the season is all going to be on Jackson and how he plays, because the Ravens are a little depleted, offensively, defensively, and he's the guy who has to kind of up his game and make the plays that matter. And I think we saw that in this game. I want to continue seeing that from him. He was very effective with his feet in this one, and I think the rust will be shaken off in the passing game, and he'll make some of those throws that he was not able to complete in this game.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the big question as we head into next week is, how healthy is the defense? How coordinated are they to be as diverse and complex as we've seen from them? And the same thing from the offense. You know, are Snead and Andrews ready? Are they healthy? Can they contribute? I could see how their additions could make this passing game much more effective, as well as Dez Bryant. You know, we haven't heard whether or not he tested again positive, whether it was a false negative or a false positive or anything like that. So there are interesting questions as we head into next week, but I think there are a lot of options for the Ravens. There are a lot of pathways to success, but I refuse to get my hopes up because this team has continued to burn me every time I have my hopes up this season.
Well, it's definitely been the case in a number of times this year, and I'm hopeful that, you know, they've kind of put those poor performances behind them. They really have to focus at the end of the season now. They really need to kind of come together and get these wins, or else, you know, they're not going to make it to the playoffs. And I think they know that this is probably the most important game on the schedule, and, you know, they don't want to lose to a divisional opponent, especially not the Browns, who've kind of clowned on them a couple times in recent years. And I think that, you know, this is a game where you kind of throw the kitchen sink at them. You know, you use every kind of trick you have in order to come away with a win. And if you look at the rosters, I'm not sure which one has a more talented team. I might actually lean Browns at this point of the season, considering all the injuries the Ravens have had. But I think the Ravens still have the best player, and that's Lamar Jackson. And I think if they can, you know, put him in the position to succeed, then they will come away with a win in this game.
Yeah, we're gonna see what kind of metal and what kind of heart this Ravens team has, this coaching staff has, in particular that Lamar Jackson has. And I don't think that it means that he doesn't have it if the Ravens flame out here. But this is a chance for the Ravens to rise up and answer the critics. And they didn't do it in the playoffs last year against Tennessee. They didn't do it in week 3 against Kansas City this year. They didn't do it against Kansas City last year. They need to do it. They didn't do it against Pittsburgh in either of the games where, you know, you had a fading team, I think, in Pittsburgh, and they had shots in both instances to take them down too. So this is your shot, Baltimore. You know, listen to Hamilton. It's time to take it.
Nice reference.
Any other thoughts that you have before we head into next week in the next game?
No, I think that, you know, we pretty much covered everything. I do think the Ravens defense needs to get better. They need to get better, especially against the run versus the Browns, because that's the thing that, you know, if we look back at week 1, the Browns actually gashed the Ravens in the first half on the ground. And then it took the Ravens getting out to a big lead and having the ball be forced into Baker Mayfield's hands, and, you know, having Wink kind of attack him with his pressure schemes that really set that game in a different direction. But, you know, I think it's going to be a tough matchup. The Ravens are definitely going to have to figure that out, how to stop that ground game. And if they can do that, I think they'll be in good shape, but that's where it's all going to start. And on offense, you know, it's the same thing that we talked about. It's Lamar Jackson. It's getting Andrews back. Hopefully, you know, he came off the COVID list today, so that's a great sign. And Judon too. So getting him back will be great.
Yep, I'm excited for the Ravens season again. I was not excited for this Cowboys game. They did enough to get me excited again. So We're hopeful that we're not going to get a letdown. Check us out on Twitter. I'm at BSL Jordan Co. He's at Gabe Fergie. We'd love to hear from you guys. And thanks for listening in tonight.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.